Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, but I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it, and if it bears fruit next year, well and good. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the parable of Jesus is a parable of hope. What Jesus, and it's kind of a story that's around, and he puts a twist, and the Jesus twist is given another year. So judgment day has not happened yet. There's still time. My question for you is, how's your Lent going? We're starting week 3. Might be time to, if you had plans to do Lent, might be time to get that started. Because what Jesus is also giving us, along with hope, is a warning. Today's not judgment day, but judgment day is coming. The Lord is coming. And those who do not repent will be left behind. Jesus uses the imagery of a tree, which other places in the Bible that same image is used. For example, in Judges chapter 9. Also, Isaiah has a vineyard very similar to this. And in looking at Jesus' parable, I'm very confident to tell you that when he said a tree, he was talking about Judah and the approaching judgment of the Roman destruction of the city. Repent, or something worse will happen to you. And it did. And what's true of Judah is also true of the church. I've said many times, and I'd love some pushback today, the church is under judgment. When you look at what's going on in the church, at least in the Western world, as it shrivels up and dies, it's very clear that the church in the Western world is under judgment for not producing fruit. Now, there's still time. There's still time, but time runs short. And what's true of the church as a whole is true of each of us as individuals. Now, you and I are going to suffer what happens to the church because we're in the church, but how we individually experience it is determinative by whether or not we are repenting. And in the end, that's what Jesus is talking about, producing fruit. Now, anytime I talk about fruit, I know that I have to repeat this over and over because of how people misunderstand it. You do not bear fruit on your own. Fruit is not a list of things to do today, right? It's not a list of things that you're going to do today. You bear fruit when you trust in the Lord, when you're faithful to the Lord, when you're praying, when you're living in communion with Him. In other words, and in another way Jesus talks about this is, when you're a branch on the vine. See, the way your trees are, and they're starting to bud now, so when you look at a bud, you will notice that the branches that are connected with the living organism produce, they don't have to do anything. You just hang on and it shoots through you. But if you take the branch away, or if it's cut off internally, it dies and nothing comes from it. You don't have to worry about producing fruit. You have to worry about being connected to Jesus. He'll produce the fruits. In fact, the matter is, most of you don't even know what kind of fruits you're supposed to produce, right? Like, what is it supposed to look like? So you end up doing stuff that you would like. So Jesus says, if we're not bearing fruit, something needs to happen. Fertilizer. Except when they didn't use the word fertilizer, did they? No. And so those of you who don't like me talk about poop in church, you can leave now because I'm going to talk about poop. Spare yourself the indignity. But I'll use the Greek word kopria. Kopria. Or how about the Hebrew? Ashpath. And I'm not making that up. Ashpath. I laughed when I read that one. Generally, when those words for dung appear in the Bible, they're referring to dung. The dung heap. Most frequently in the Jewish Bible, it refers to the dung gate. Don't you want to live in that neighborhood? There's a gate in Jerusalem where they took the dung out. All right? So typically that's what it means, but there are places where the deeper meaning comes through. So if you look at 1 Samuel 1, Hannah, remember Hannah wanted a baby. She couldn't have a baby. And then she got the baby, and it's going to be Samuel. So it's a special baby. And she's so happy. She sings a song praising the Most High God in his faithfulness, in his salvation. And she cries out, he raises the needy out of the dung. Takes him out of the dung. In Exodus, and there's so much we could do with Exodus, but time, I cut 15 minutes out of the sermon, so that's the Exodus stuff. But what I'll say about Exodus is, notice what God says. I see. I hear. I know. When you wonder that question that comes to mind, I wonder if God knows what's going on. He knows. He sees you. He hears you. And he comes down to save, and he will raise us up. But he sends human. He sent Moses. And he sends humans to you. And if they're reluctant to do it, part of the reason why you're in the situation you're in is because God sent someone and they didn't show up. Think of those handymen you hire, right? We'll be there between 9 Tuesday and 4 o'clock some other day, right? And you're waiting and they don't show up. That's how God's situation is. So God knows what's going on. He comes to raise us up. But what I want you to think clearly about is, if God is going to raise us up out of the dung, it means we are in the dung. And based on my experience, every second in the dung is 1 second too long. It's 1 second too long. So, what is manure? It's death. We eat plants that are living things. And we eat animals, they're living things. And from their death, we produce dung. But ironically, and this is one of the great mysteries of life, dung is like one of the best ways to make things grow. It's really fascinating when you think about it. We live in a world where dung is like one of the greatest things you can have if you want things to live. Which sounds a lot like New Testament 101. Jesus died so we can live. Jesus says, you must die so you can live. Now comes the part that I don't like. See, if I was in charge, eating pizza and ice cream would give you muscles and abs. And life would be so much easier. I don't like this message, but I believe it's true and I'm supposed to tell you the truth. Life is hard and unfair. Life is hard and unfair. And if we were the kind of church that did testimonies, I could point 5 people out in this room right now who could tell you stories about life being unfair and hard. And there's 10 others then could add to it. And there's 10 others could add to it. And even the people who don't talk would say, well, I got some things I could say if I was the type of person who would talk. What makes it difficult for us is we live in a culture where pain relief is a multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar industry. We live in a world where the constant advertisement is, does something hurt? Human relationships hurting you? We'll fix it. Your body hurting you? We'll fix it. Your neighborhood hurting you? We'll fix it. We will make your world pain-free. We will make your world pain-free. In fact, and I don't know that this is true, but I've seen indications it could be, I am told that many young people believe that they're entitled to live in a world where no one ever says in their presence anything they don't want to hear. And they have special rooms where you can go. And they will not allow anyone come on your campus and talk about anything that you don't want to hear. No dung allowed. Jesus saw the tragic suffering and deaths of other people. We literally have a newspaper account. Here what Pilate did, he murdered a bunch of people in the temple. Their blood was mixed when they were offering their sacrifices. Hear about that collapse of that tower, 18 people died. And when Jesus looks at that, he doesn't say, how does a good God let bad things happen? He's already explained that. Anybody who leaves the church because something bad happened obviously didn't pay attention to the book. Anyone who thinks God's going to spare you from suffering hasn't read the book or paid any attention to the life of Jesus or St. Paul or Peter or any other saint in the history of the church. Jesus sees suffering and death, and he says two things. The first thing he says is, there's not a direct correlation to the bad stuff happening in your life and your sin. There's not something you did that caused that. In some cases, we're all sinners, but in some cases, lower sinners are getting higher bad stuff. And people real bad aren't getting it necessarily to the degree you'd expect. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think people in Ukraine are worse sinners than you? When you drive through the inner city, do you secretly find yourself glad you've lived a better life than those people? Or at least tempted to hear it. Jesus says there's not a direct correlation between the bad things that happen to people and their sin. But he does say, anytime you see that, remember something worse is coming for you if you don't repent. Now it's a beautiful day. Who wants to hear that? And if you don't want to hear it, wham, wham for you, I've been listening to it for all week as I've worked this over and over again. It's been rubbed in my face. Repent, or something worse will happen to you. Repent. Turn your life around. Think differently. Take on the mind of Christ. Stop being a middle-class person generated by the virtues and values of the middle class and become a Jesus person motivated by the virtues and values of Jesus. Now, sometimes the manure in our life is what we need to become who we were created to be. But what I'm not telling you to do is go looking for pain. Now, the seminarian, Jeff, did. I really did. I thought we were supposed to suffer. I looked for it, and my spiritual directors keep saying, don't look for it. Don't look for it. But when you're in your 20s, what do you know, right? I was rambunctious and excited. Now, as the old priest, I'll say, don't go looking for it, but it'll find you. And when it finds you, offer it to God. Turn off for just a second that pain relief commercial and say to God, maybe this is manure from you so I can produce fruit. And trust God and be faithful, and maybe you produce abundant fruit.